Our text this morning is in Joshua chapter 14. I have chosen Caleb as the subject for this morning because of his spiritual aspirations. There's always a temptation to kind of even out and reach a plateau and just drift, especially in our Christian testimony and service. It is so easy to fall into a pattern and just continue on and not notice that the enthusiasm is not there and the zeal has languished and that we're not accomplishing as much for the Lord as we used to do. Caleb is a refreshing contrast. He's an individual who was always on fire for God. So if you will look at Joshua chapter 14, notice that in verse 7, he says to Joshua, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. There's a great secret in that verse. For Caleb, there was no holding back. For Caleb, there were no second thoughts. He served God. And it didn't matter what anyone else did. He served God. And he did it with his whole heart. That's a refreshing thing to see in Scripture. He goes on to say, And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Now there's the second time that that phrase appears. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word to Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Well, I haven't made that yet. Most of you haven't either. But we can still think of ways and means of slowing down, doing a little less, because, well, time is passing and we don't have the energy we used to have. That wasn't Caleb at all. He is 85 years old and going strong. Now that is a challenge and a rebuke to all of us. I'm afraid most of us look forward to holidays and days of rest and relaxation. Caleb didn't. He looked forward to further work, further accomplishment, further opportunities to do something for the Lord. That is a convicting thought. And he goes on to say, verse 11, As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. Now, this is a matter of some astonishment. Here he is, 85 years old, a candidate for a rocking chair, and he looks forward to a battle. Give me this mountain, he says. And he's talking about the mountain that was then known as the city of Arba, but now is known as Hebron. It's still there after all these thousands of years. And he's thinking of that place as a place where the name of the Lord should be put. And it wasn't then. It should be a city dedicated to God. And it wasn't then. And so, give me this mountain, this place that is called Kiriath Arba, the city of Arba. We're going to change the name. It belongs to God, not Arba. Now, friends, this is a gripping challenge to us all. Here's a man who doesn't know how to quit. Here's a man who has tremendous goals. Here he is, 85 years old, and he's just getting to the part of his life that's exciting. Now, friends, we must recognize that the best is yet to come. For most people in this country, they're planning on retirement. They're planning on stopping work, sitting back and doing nothing, just enjoying life. And Caleb couldn't understand that at all. He was just to the point where he could do what he really wanted to do, claim something for God, enlarge the territory of the people of Israel, do great things for God. Now, friends, when we sit in this sanctuary, there's a great temptation to think, well, we have arrived. After all, we have worked for this for 20 years. We have struggled and saved and given and worked and all that, and now we're here. Now we can just sit back and relax. No. We are here because God led us here. And He did not lead us here to relax. He led us here to serve. This is but the beginning. Now we have the foundation laid. Now we can go on and accomplish things for God. Now we can serve doing the things that He always intended us to do, but we just weren't ready yet to do them. But now, He's ready to do more with us. My friends, I want to challenge you to think the way Caleb thought. Instead of just thinking, well, what we've done is enough. What we've done is far enough. Others can run with the ball now. Instead of that, start asking yourself questions of, why did God bring me to this moment in my life? Why am I here? What is there that God wants me to do here? I don't care what your age is. That doesn't matter at all. Whether you're young or old, age is immaterial. God's will is everything. And for Caleb, he knew God had more for him to do. Now, friends, we need to think of Caleb very deeply, profoundly, because he is a challenge to every last one of us. We have arrived at this stage in our life because of God's will. He has brought us there. Now, what does He want us to do? What is He thinking for us to do? I know Pastor Mazak will have all kinds of ideas and suggestions that he is going to make this afternoon. And I don't want to go into that. But I do want us to think very soberly about why we are here. We are not here to sit back and relax and let others do for us. Now think for a moment what he is contemplating. In verse 12, he said the Anakim dwelt in that city. Now they were giants. These were people who were formidable. The other 10 spies found out about them and ran. They were giants. They were fearsome warriors. Now, Caleb certainly saw that. Joshua certainly saw that. But they had a different attitude. They were individuals who were in the way of God's purpose. God could deal with them. They didn't have to worry about it. Now, friends, we can all think of reasons why we don't do more for the Lord. Sometimes very good reasons. But they're all excuses. God has brought us to the place we are, not to abandon us, but to make us more useful, to accomplish His will through us, even in a better way. And as for those enemies, those foes, they may be intimidating to us. They don't impress the Lord at all. The Lord is certainly able to accomplish everything that He intends, every detail of His purpose, and the adversaries will get out of His way. Who is going to stand in front of the Lord of the universe and tell Him that He cannot accomplish His purpose? There isn't anyone. There isn't any personality, not even the devil himself. For the Lord says, this is the way, the devil gets out of it. Now, he may harass you. He can't shut that door that the Lord opens for you. As Dr. Jones Sr. used to say, the devil may kick you while you go through the door. That's right. He may. But he can't stop you from going through the door of God's will for your life. And he cannot stop this church from accomplishing precisely why the Lord brought it into existence. Caleb is our challenge. He was there by the will of God. Against all hope, he had survived 45 years afterwards. And now, 85 years old, it's time for him to accomplish God's will. It's time for him to do what God wanted him to do, and that is set up a city for God. He wasn't able to take all the land, but the city of Arba he could take. And now he draws his sword and he's ready. Now, surprisingly enough, that's exactly what happened. He won the city and changed the name. And to this day, it's called Hebron. And there's a place that really is a beautiful place with a tremendous shrine, the Cave of Machpelah that is there, where the great patriarch Abraham was buried. What if Caleb hadn't taken the city? What if it remained in the hands of the Anakim? And there wouldn't have been such a place for Abraham that is still a monument after all these thousands of years. Pilgrimages of people, Christians, Jews, and Arabs come there as a pilgrimage. Yes, Caleb knew what he was doing. But God knew what he was doing. And God understood that far better than Caleb did. Even as he understands our place in life much better than we do. But we must remember what Caleb did. Caleb followed the Lord wholly. Caleb wanted all of God's will. Caleb wanted to be used of God to accomplish the whole purpose of God. He didn't want to miss anything. Friends, we need that zeal. We need that determination that God, having brought us to the place where we are now and set before us an open door, surely there are things that He wants us to do. Surely there's progress we can make for the Lord, for our church. Yes, there are things the Lord wants done. Caleb wholly followed the Lord. He was ready to do them. And God used him to do them. Now, let's think of this. When it says Caleb wholly followed the Lord, that's a phrase that shows up again and again in Scripture. In Psalm 9:1, David says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. For David, he was not merely serving as king, but as hymn writer and psalmist. And he was praising the Lord with his whole heart. Whatever David did, it was wholeheartedly. There's another example for us. In Psalm 57:7, he says, My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Yes, thank the Lord that part of what we can do for the Lord is to praise His name. And that this place shall be a place where the praises of God shall be sounded forth to His glory. Wonderful to hear the singing here, the special music that is here. But that too is God's will. God is celebrated in heaven. Why not here? This also is part of what we are doing for God. In Psalm 84:2, my heart and my flesh cries out for the living God. The psalmist longed for God, longed to be able to praise and worship God as he should. And so in Psalm 119:10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Yes, the psalmist sought God with his whole heart, with all his being. He prays that God not allow his footsteps to stray, to wander away from God, but that God would continue directing his pathway down that will of God for his life. And so, Psalm 119:69, I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. The psalmist was wholehearted in his worship and service of God. His praise was not a temporary thing. He was determined to continue it. Now, when Caleb asked, "Give me this mountain," it was a formidable thing. The giants, the fortress city, walled, as we find out in Scripture, how was he going to be able to take all of that? Well, I'm not sure he knew how. The thing that he knew was that it was God's will that he do it. And again, for many of you, you aren't too sure how to accomplish God's will. You see there are things that you should be doing, but there's one great encouragement for you. God knows exactly how you should do them. God knows precisely the pathway that you should take. And you can relax about the how. Make yourself available. Put yourself in the place where God can use you. Volunteer. And God will show you how to do it. God already has figured that out. We may not know, but He certainly does. So, we need to depend upon God to lead our steps aright, to guide us in the right pathway. He can give us the ability and the guidance as well. In 1 Corinthians 1:4, Paul thanked God for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. We don't do our work by sheer grit. We do it by grace. God supplies to us the grace that we need, the ability to accomplish His purpose. In Ephesians 1:17, Paul prayed that God would give the Ephesians the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Yes, we need that same thing, that spirit of wisdom, that we may choose wisely in how we should serve God, what direction we should take in that service, and the revelation of the knowledge of Him. Always, the better you know the Lord Jesus, the better it is to see what He wants us to do. The closer we are to Him, the closer we are to seeing His purpose for us. Paul understood that very well. But then, so did James. In 1:5, he says, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not." Yes, ask. God is ready to supply you with exactly the wisdom you need, the strength you need, the guidance you need. Just ask. We tend to hang back and wonder, you know, whether we should really be bold enough to ask all this. The answer is yes. Caleb's example is yes. He was not the least bit timid. He knew God had brought him to that place because He had a purpose for him. God has brought us to this place, not just so that we can sit back and warm a pew. Anybody can do that. He's brought us to this place because He's got service for us. He's got a pathway before us. He wants us to travel that pathway and accomplish great things for God. Caleb knew that for himself. We need to know that. Now, James also says in 4:6 that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. If we make ourselves available, not charging ahead and saying, "I want to do this, I'm going to accomplish this." No, not that. It's, "What dost thou want me to do? What is the pathway? Give me the wisdom I need. Show me the way." Yes, God guides the humble. If you are prepared to follow, the Lord is prepared to lead. If you want to accomplish His will, He is prepared to show you exactly what that may be. Sometimes we have preconceived ideas. We think, "Well, God wants me to do this." Maybe He doesn't. Maybe He wants us to do something different. Always our attitude must be of the servant. "Here am I, Lord. Send me." When we put ourselves in His hands, make ourselves available for Him, then He's going to show us exactly what He wants done. He's going to use us as He desires to use us. So, it's very important that we give ourselves into God's gracious hands. Now, Caleb depended on the Lord. In verse 12 of chapter 14, he says, "Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, that the cities were great and walled. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." There is his serene confidence. If the Lord is going to be with me, I will win the battle. He didn't look at the fact that he was too old. He didn't look at the fact that the adversaries were too big, too strong, that the city was a walled city. He didn't have siege engines. He didn't look at any of these things. He looked at the Lord. If the Lord is with me, I will be able to do it. Friends, do you realize that every last one of us can think of a person who needs the Lord Jesus? And that every one of us can ask the Lord, "Lord, what can I do to reach that person? How can I give that person the gospel?" The Lord knows how. For some of you, you're completely baffled. You've tried to reach some people, totally failed. And you're ready to write the whole thing off as a bad deal. Don't lack faith when it comes to that. If you can think of someone that needs to be saved, you can think of him because God wants you to think of him. Now you need to ask the second question, "Lord, what can I do? How can I contact this person? What could I do to get the gospel in front of him?" And start praying about that. God knows exactly how. He can show you. It doesn't matter what the field of service may be. It may be a different question. How can I serve in Trinity? How can I serve on the mission field? How can I serve in the military? There's all kinds of questions that can be asked. God knows the answer to all these questions. All you have to do is ask. Put yourself at His disposal. Make yourself available, as Caleb did. And God will show you. God does open doors. God does accomplish His purpose. We need to be ready, willing, eager to serve God, and He can accomplish all of it. Think of Paul's words in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Yes, what a marvelous promise. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain. Now that's certainly the goal for every last one of us. We need to be abounding in the service of God. Not just creeping along, not just doing the bare minimum, abounding in the work of the Lord. Doing as much as possible. Why? Because you know it's not in vain. God sees every last thing His people do. God will reward every last thing that is done in His name. You know it's not in vain. You know the Lord delights in the service of His people. All right? Make yourself available. If you know all of this, then, "Lord, here am I. How can I serve? What can I do? Lord, give me marching orders." That should be the attitude of every one of us. We must not drift. We must not get to the stage of our Christian life where we're just floating along. Because every time someone floats, he goes downstream. You've got to row. The Lord wants you upstream. There are things you have to do against resistance. The Lord can accomplish that. He can push that boat in the right direction. He's not going to do it if you're drifting. Your desire is absolutely essential. If you want to be useful, God is ready to use you. If you want to serve, God can find a place of service. You don't choose those places. You ask. God opens doors. God turns on the light and shows you areas that need help. God impels you forward. But He won't if you're drifting. If you're going downstream, the easy way, just relaxing, just a little more sleep, just a little more dozing, you'll go all the way down. But God wants you upstream. He wants you going forward. He wants to see progress in the life of every last one of us. He wants to see progress in the life of our church. We are here at this stage not to drift, but to make progress now, to accomplish His purpose in numerous ways that we couldn't do before because we didn't have the ability. But now the doors are open. We have a sanctuary completed. We don't have to work on it. We have a mission board right on our own property. We have all kinds of people serving, aiming for the chaplaincy, aiming for the pastorate, accomplishing work now. There are ways in which we can help them. All of these are open doors. We've got to be determined of being useful in God's service, of asking those questions, Lord, how can I serve? What can I do to accomplish Thy purpose here in this place? He'll show you. There's much to be done. And there's a verse that we must remember. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. There's an awful lot of alls in that verse. God is not limited. God is not weak. God has tremendous goals. And that verse speaks to every last one of us. We can't do a thing in ourselves. There's no good thing we can accomplish apart from God. But now, God is able. He has all power in heaven and earth. He can accomplish His purpose exactly. And He is able to make all grace abound toward you. Not just a little bit. Not the bare minimum. All grace abound toward you. Whatever you need, He's able to provide. He is able to make that abound to you that you can always have all sufficiency. He keeps piling up that word all. Not just once in a while, but always having all sufficiency for everything you face. And it's not you're so talented. It's not that you're so strong. It's that He has the grace. He has the wisdom. He has the power. He can accomplish that. All you have to do is say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Use me. That's all He asks. He has to do the work. There's not a one of us that can save a soul. Only God can do that. There's not a one of us that can reclaim a backslider. Only God can do that. There's not a one of us that could start a church. Only God can do that. There's not a one of us that could make a church prosper. Only God can do that. But He can do all of that, and a great deal more, because He is Lord of heaven and earth, able to accomplish His purpose, able to fulfill His will. And He chooses the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. He doesn't ask for the rich and the powerful to do His will. He asks for you and me. We're the ones He uses, the weak and the poor. He doesn't need human help. He can do it all by Himself. But He insists on willing servants. If you put yourself into His hand and you ask Him to use you, He will. If you ask Him for the open door, ask Him for the guidance, ask Him for the way to serve, He'll show you. He wants you to be a servant, filled with His Spirit, empowered to serve, accomplishing great things, because you have great spiritual aspirations. You want to serve God. You want to be useful before Him. And God is willing to take the servant and use him in ways beyond imagination. My friends, this occasion is not the end of a pathway. It's the beginning. It's the start of great ministries. Because many of you sitting out there can be soul winners beyond what you dream. Many of you can have a part in sending missionaries all over this world. Oh, praise God, we have done this. We have missionaries all around the world. We pray for people all the time. Literally, the sun never sets upon the missionaries who are out there serving, doing our work. There's much more. God wants much more from our church. And we can do that by His grace. Give me this mountain. That is not a timid request. It is not a request out of fear. It is confident faith. Give me this mountain. What can you think of that is a mountain in your life that God needs to give you? A door of service. A place where you can be a blessing. A blessing to others. To the salvation of souls. To the strengthening of God's people. There's a place in this church for that. There's a place on the mission field for that. Yes, friends. There's a place in which you fit. God wants you to claim for yourself, give me this mountain. Whatever that is. And to let Him choose how you get there. And the conquest of that mountain. That's His worry, not yours. Yours is the willing heart. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In this quiet moment, perhaps God's Spirit has spoken to you, and you know it was to you. There is something, some door that you need to go through. You may not know what it is yet, but you know God has a mountain for you. Will you in this quiet moment slip up your hand and say, yes, I surrender to that mountain. By God's grace, I want that mountain. Pray for me. God bless you. 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 O Lord, how we thank Thee for the precious privilege of being useful to Thee. How we thank Thee that we don't have to be powerful and mighty, for Thou hast all power. We don't have to be wise, for Thou hast all wisdom. But we need to be willing, and we thank Thee for these who are willing. We ask now, Lord, that Thou wilt take them and use them according to Thy perfect will. Set before them an open door. Show them how to prepare to go through it. Guide their steps. Lead them to that place of service that they need, whether it is here in this church or on the mission field or anywhere in between. Thou dost know. We pray for explicit guidance. We pray for empowerment. We pray for blessing. And Lord, grant that all of us, by Thy grace, may seek to go forward in victory, seeking that mountain for ourselves. Give us renewed zeal, renewed vigor, that Thy will may be accomplished in the hearts of each one of us, that the Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified. For we pray in His name. Amen.